All right. Hello. My name is Ryan McKenney from the Bulkley Valley Museum. Today is December 15th, 2020, and I'm sitting here with Carmen and Joan Graff. So I will start right at the beginning. Where and when were you both born?
I was born in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia.
When?
In June 28th, 1938.
Okay.
I was born in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, in March of 1536.
Oh, so you both grew up there.
We were both born in the same hospital.
Sure. And whereabouts is that in Nova Scotia?
It's northern Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Close to the Alberta or the New Brunswick border, about 60 miles.
Okay, sure. Can you tell me a little bit about your parents' backgrounds?
Well, my parents were immigrated from Switzerland. My dad came over in 1919, and my mom came in 1924, and they had to get married on a boat in Halifax because single women weren't allowed to immigrate into Canada at that particular time. And she was born in Rodney, Nova Scotia, lived there all her life.
Okay.
And you can tell about your parents.
My mother was born in Scotland. She came to Canada when she was about 10. My dad was born and brought up in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia. He has relatives way back. And they were married in, I don't know what year.
Sure, that's okay. Sure. So, Carmen, you mentioned your parents were from Switzerland?
Yes.
Did you grow up with, like, multiple languages in the house?
No.
All English?
When my first sister was born, my mother couldn't speak of any English at all, and she had a hard time in the hospital. So when she went home, she said, Gus, that was my dad's name, we're going to speak English. And I never, ever heard them speak Swiss between them. Other than if they had company sometimes, the odd time there'd be a Swiss family or German. But I never heard them ever speak their language while I was growing up. So they never taught us kids, any of us, to speak Swiss.
Okay. Did you have any other family in Nova Scotia that came over as well? Or?
Well, we were all no. There was no other relatives in Canada. My brothers and sisters were all born in Canada. We're like second-generation Canadians.
All right. Well, how did you two meet then?
How did we meet?
We met in 4-H Club.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a little story before that. We both had community schools in the country, and we used to have a Christmas concert every year. So one year, my brother and I, we walked over to their school. It was about 2 miles. To go to their concert, and I think I was 10 or 11, and we were sitting there, and this little blonde girl was up on the stage, and I didn't know who she was. I said to my brother, that's the girl I'm going to marry someday, and he said, oh, you know. So the next week, they came out to our concert, and she came out with some neighbors of hers, and that was the only time we ever got any candy in those days. Santa Claus came, and most of it was homemade candy. And she was sitting out in the audience, so I had one piece of candy, and I gave her the rest of my bag. That's how we met. And then we were both in 4-H Club for quite a number of years. And our club won the best club in Cumberland County for 2 years in a row. And we square danced, and we missed going to the Ontario Winter Fall Fair. When we were square dancing, her brother, he got stage fright, so we had to get another member to dance, and we came in second. So anyway, but that's how we met. We
were dressed in the 4-H colors, you know, like the white pants and the green blouse. And my brother, he fainted.
Oh, wow.
And so we had to get it somebody else, and so he wasn't dressed.
So I guess
that's why we lost out.
Being involved in 4-H, did you both grow up on farms then?
Yes, both.
No, dairy. My father was a dairy farmer, and it was a dairy club we belonged to.
Oh, okay. We had a mixed farm and our farm, and my dad worked in the coal mine in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia for 29 years, I guess, something like that.
Okay. Well, how did you end up in...
And I worked in the coal mine for almost 2 years, and I went there when I was 17, and then I came out here to BC after that.
Tell me about that. How did you make it all the way from Nova Scotia to the Bulkley Valley?
I had three brothers and a sister in Quesnel at that time, so I went to Quesnel in 1954. And then I went back home in 55, and we got married in 55 and drove back out to BC. She was a month away from 17, and I had just turned 19, so a couple of kids.
Yeah. What did you do once you got to Quesnel?
What was that?
What did you do once you got to Quesnel?
Well, I worked in the lumber industry, in a planer mill. And then in 56, I bought a truck and I went trucking and did that for a year and a half and went broke. And then I worked in a beer parlor for a couple of years, slinging beer. And then I worked back in the forest industry till 62, when we came up here to Smithers. Her dad and mother had come up a year before us and bought the old Wayside store. It's gone now. You probably don't even remember it if you weren't here, but it's on the property where Kell Tire is and the Wayside Service. It was just past that. Okay. It was a Wayside store. They bought that, and he built a service station where the Harley shop was, and her brother didn't want to run it, so he come and asked us if we wanted to purchase it. So we moved up here in 62 and bought it off him, and bloody near starved to death the first 5 years we were here. But anyway, it was a great place to raise our family.
So what were those first 5 years like then?
They were really hard, really tough. And this town was very cliquey. Oh, man, it was cliquey. Everybody here was related to somebody. You didn't dare say a word to anybody about anybody because they were related to somebody. So we met some friends, the Swift brothers, Gordon and Sid Swift, and they were the first people we met. And then we kind of got into the rest of society here. But it was really a cliquey town in those days.
So what do you mean by cliquey? Was it based on...
Well, they were all old-timers here, and they were all related. The whole town was related to somebody, and they kind of stuck together. And you were an outsider, sort of, just so was the PK. So we had to work our way in. And
we've been here 58 years now.
Wow.
And we had... Our four children were born in Quesnel.
Okay.
And I didn't like it here very much when I first came here because it was terrible.
There was no pavement here other than Main Street was paved, and there was a little, between here and Telco was paved. That was the only pavement between here and Quesnel. And our daughter, the youngest daughter, was only 6 months old when we moved here, and she's lived here all her life, and our youngest son's lived here all their life. He ran the Harley shop there till last year, and we shut it down.
Oh, okay.
And we were on that spot, on that corner there, for 57 years. And we couldn't make it anymore, so we shut it down.
Wow. So, Joan, you had mentioned that you didn't like it when you first moved here.
No, it's just we just lived in a little trailer. How big was it?
8x48.
8x48. We had a camper bigger than that, but we had four babies. They were babies, and I went to go back to Quesnel because when we came to Quesnel, everybody coming in there was the same age as us, having children the same time, and I wanted to go back, but I'm so glad we stayed here because now I love it here. I like the mountains. And
when did that change? Like, when did you go from not enjoying it to really liking it here?
Once the kids were, well, they, when they got older, they got into hockey and figure skating, and I started to like it then, so.
Okay. I believe, actually, so something I do before all of my interviews, I look people up on the Interior News and find all the articles I can about them. You were involved with minor hockey at one point, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I was president of minor hockey for a couple of years, but we always had hockey billets. That's those days they billeted them out. She always took two or three hockey billets, and she was a den mother for one team, and lots of Sundays we'd be going east and west with we wore out two cars driving our hockey teams around, and
lots of times our oldest son, he played hockey, and there was a lot of kids from out of town, like, couldn't get home after they had to play at night, and they would be at our place, they'd sleeping bags out. There was always a pile of kids at our place.
Very cool.
It was really a good time. We only ever had, out of all the years we billeted, we only ever had one billet that we had trouble with, and he was from Kitimat, and the coach sent him home right away. But other than that, we never had a problem with any of them, and they were all good kids. And we had them all the way from Prince Rupert to Prince George to Northwest Territories, all over the country.
Oh, wow.
The high school had, when my kids were in high school, they had a exchange student to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And Doug was the first one to go on exchange. And
Stephen.
Well, I'm always having...
Stephen. Steve was the first one, wasn't he? It doesn't matter. Anyway. Period.
We were always having boy billets for hockey. I'm going to take girls. And so the two girls came, and they were just so excited. They said, the Hudson Bay Mountain has got, and you got in inside toilet and running water. And my dad said you had to go to outside toilets, and then your dad pulling your leg. And then they never really had sleepovers together, so they were up all night long. So then Stephen, our youngest one, he went down the next year. He went to Vancouver. And we had a girl, there was two girls going to come, but one girl couldn't come. So the one girl came, and she was so homesick. But she got along good with our kids, you know, went to school with them. And but I felt sorry for her. Boys never seem to get homesick.
Yeah. All right. So we're in like the 60s and 70s right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any other stories or events in that time period that you want to talk about?
Not really. We went through the 60s. Like the first 5 or 6 years we were here, it was really hard. And then, the business grew, and we got to kind of fit into the community, and things started to happen, and we realized it was a good place to live and raise our family, so we decided to stay here. And but there were,
we started to enlarge our business.
Oh, what, sir?
We started to enlarge our business. We bought a tire shop in Houston, and we ran it for a few years, and then he wanted to have another tire shop in Hazleton. And then we ended up buying Alfar Industrial Supply. It was an industrial store, a chain and stuff. So we had four businesses.
Wow. So you were involved working in the business as well?
Well, I started when my youngest one started to school. And I babysit kids too. So we had a boy that stayed with us. His mother left him with us for babysitting. She was working. And I'd work till 3 and then I'd go home, and the kids came home, and there was always a lot of kids at our place. I put a computer in there and learned to computer and did the accounting for 45 years.
I guess back in those days, how did you teach yourself how to use that? How did you teach yourself all that?
Pardon?
How did you teach yourself that? You said you put a computer in that room and just taught yourself?
Yeah, they had some computer courses here, and we would go and, what was the Chinese guy?
Jim Wong.
What?
Jim Wong.
Jim Wong. He was having the same trouble as me because he did his books at home, so we were getting our numbers mixed up.
Okay.
But you took a course in bookkeeping, though. In the office back in
I went to commercial college in Nova Scotia, and I said I would never do bookkeeping. And although I had won a certificate from the provincial government and from the federal government, Nova Scotia and then federal, and I had top marks in bookkeeping because I hated it so bad. I worked at it hard, and I ended up doing books for 45 years. I liked it.
All right. Did either of you have any other jobs in the valley?
No. Well, I sold the first business I had. I sold it to a couple of guys, and I went to work in the bush here for one winter, and they never paid me, so I took it back.
They never paid you?
No.
They didn't. Wow. Pay me, so
I had to take it back, and then we expanded it from there.
Okay. Great.
One time we had 45 employees.
Oh, wow.
And we had 4 stores. And
did lots of volunteer work. Like, I belonged to the Beta Sigma Phi years ago, and they wanted a swimming pool here, but they didn't have any money. So we were the first, our sorority group was the first one. We had a wine and cheese party and it went over big at the Catholic school. And we raised the first money we raised for the public pool.
Okay. Actually, that's something I was going to ask about, too, was this Beta Sigma Phi, you said?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about them?
Well, I don't belong to it anymore, but I think there's only 4 or 5 of them in it now, so I just...
You were one of the founding members, though.
Yeah, I was one of the founding members.
So what exactly did the group do?
Well, we met together and we learned things, and everybody had to do a program once a month, and you two of you would have to do a program, and we'd have a party once a month or for Christmas or Valentine's, and 1 year we had you could pay them to the girls would come to the house, and they sing happy birthday or happy Valentine's to them. And my father-in-law was out visiting us. He usually came just about every winter to stay with us after my mother-in-law died. And they came. He was going to go to Quesnel. He was mad at me because I wasn't packing a suitcase. And I said, "Oh no, wait, don't worry. You know, like we'll get it because they hadn't come yet." And so they came in and they kissed me in lipstick all over, and he says, "I knew you had something up your sleeve." I said, "No, you didn't." "Are you mad at me?" "No, I'm not mad at you. And don't take some pictures and send it to my friend because he wanted them, his friend, to see all this lipstick on."
Very cool story. Let me see here. So I guess when you were starting the business, you were starting to work at that. What was the business environment like in Smithers? Was it very competitive?
I had a BA Oil service station in those days. That was British American Oil Company. It's no longer. It got taken over by Petro-Canada in the end. But people wouldn't deal with you because you were a stranger. Like I say, the first 5 years, it was one day I used to be open from 8 till midnight, and I worked myself, and I sold $2 worth of gas from 8 till midnight. And it was really hard, you know. Never had any money, but we worked our way in, and then people would deal with you after a while.
We got to be friends with a lot of the farming community because we were brought up on farms, and they were nice people to be. We used to go to dances out in Driftwood, and the other.
Where were these dances hosted?
Pardon?
Where were these dances hosted?
They were out at Driftwood Hall.
At the hall, okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, as an outsider, I think you said, people really didn't want to come to your business as much. When did that start to change?
Oh, in the late 60s, early 70s, it was starting to change. There was more people coming here, newcomers, and like Quesnel, when we moved there, everybody was new. It was a booming town, and this town was like 40 years more mature than Quesnel was. Others was, because they were all old timers. But it changed in the late 60s, early 70s. And one night we were just outside the town boundaries where our shop was. The town ended right there, and we had no water. And another individual and I went to the town council to see if we could buy water from the town and run a pipe or own. And it was, I don't remember who all was the council, it was five of them anyway, and they gave us a really hard time. And when we left that night, I said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to get on that council someday. And I'll never treat anybody like that ever again. And so I ran in 1969. I didn't get elected the first year. Actually, I ended up with pneumonia in the hospital. But 1970, I got elected the first time to council. And I've been involved pretty much ever since, one way or another. But after I got elected to council, things changed and things started to progress.
So that was kind of what I wanted to talk about next. So you already kind of talked about why you wanted to run a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there any other reason that made you run for town council?
I was always interested in politics. My dad used to take me when he voted in Nova Scotia, he'd take me, and it was funny, they'd be handing out Mickey's of rum and $5 bills to buy their vote, and Dad would always take the Mickey of rum and vote out the way he wanted anyway. So I was always interested in politics way back when. So it was just sort of natural to get involved here. And I did try to one time run for the Social Credit Party provincially, but I didn't get the nomination. So I never tried again, but it was quite an experience.
So when you were on town council, what sort of things did you accomplish? Like what sort of projects were you working on?
Well, when I wasn't mayor, I was always in charge of the works department, and we used to take water out of the river in the spring. It'd be like sand, you know, and I had the mandate one time to find a new water source for the town, and I did some research, and I hired a water geologist out of Victoria, and his last name was Livingston. He's probably dead now because he was about 70 years old back then. And so I picked him up at the airplane. He arrived here one day, and he had a whole load of maps. He knew where every drop of water was in this Buckley Valley, and he told us where to drill. We drilled three wells, and we got lots of water, and then we built a million-gallon water reservoir. It's out by up the hill by West Fraser's sawmill there. It's up on top of the hill. So we've had good, and it's good water, too. There's lots of it. And when we rebuilt Main Street, I was in charge of that job. I didn't design it, but I was in charge of getting it built, and well, there was lots of other things. We built a new sewer lagoon down on the Dohler Flats there. They had a mechanical sewage plant here when I moved here. It was very expensive to run, and it wasn't very efficient, so we built two lagoons down there, and then I bought 40 acres of land beside the lagoons from a guy that I knew really well, and it's sitting there vacant, but there's lots of land there. They could probably handle sewage from 50,000 people. There's probably a big chunk of land there. But there was lots of, we rebuilt Main Street, and where the Fall Fair is now, back in 1972, the Fall Fair Board owned this Heritage Park where the Civic Center is. They owned that, and they used to hold the Fall Fair there, but in 72, the mayor was Carl Spicer, and Mel Verschette was another councilor, and we bought 30 acres of land from Ed Hinchcliffe and another 30 acres from a guy by the name of Spud Murphy. I never met him, down where the Fall Fair is now. And we traded them that land for the Heritage Park. And we built them the first Quonset hut that was down there. It's a steel building. And that was the trade that we did with the Fall Fair. So the town now owns Heritage Park and Fall Fair. I'm not sure what the arrangement is. The land down there is in the town's name or whose name it's in, but anyway, and they've developed there to the Fall Fair that we have now. It's the third, second biggest fair in BC.
Oh, really?
Right now, it was PNE, and Armstrong has the second. We were third.
I didn't know that. Wow.
And it last year would have been 100th anniversary, which we didn't have, eh? It went steady for that many years, and it was good fair, a really good fair.
So I just want to go back to something you had mentioned.
Yeah.
You said rebuild Main Street.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, before, just a couple years before we moved here, there was ditches down both sides of Main Street. They were filled in. But the street was never built very good. In the spring, it would heave in the middle, and there was, if you were parked on the side, you couldn't open the passenger door. It was that tipped that much. So we dug it up right from storefront to storefront, all the length of Main Street, and then rebuilt it. Because this Smithers was an old lake bottom here. And there's quicksand, and there's peat moss and everything. But we dug Main Street up. I was worried that some of those old buildings would slide right out into the street because, you know, the ground's very, very unstable here. When they built Safeway, they drove pilings down there 60 feet. And that's what, you know, that's... And as the years went by, we got better drainage, and we've drained it now till it's pretty good. But we built Main Street the way it is today. I didn't design it. It was designed by engineers, but I was in charge of getting it built. And I interviewed three contractors, and the one that I chose was $100,000 higher than the next closest bid, but he knew how to work in that kind of soil conditions. So they'd excavate a couple of truckloads out, and they'd fill it right back in. So, and then they got designed the way it is today, and I was in charge of that. And then when I was mayor, the ski hill, it got in trouble, and the Royal Bank was going to foreclose on it, and I made a trip to Vancouver over that. And I was up in that 42nd story of that Taj Mahal the Royal Bank owns in Georgia Street down there, and I was really out of my element there. And I was negotiating for the ski hill, and the guy said to me, you're getting pretty cocky. He said, you owe the bank a lot of money too. You don't want to, and I said, you don't want to go there. I don't think you can stand the publicity. So anyway, I said, finally he said, what do you want? That's when interest was 21%. I said, I want interest for 5 years for 5%. And I'll guarantee that you'll get your money back. So they finally agreed to that. We got it for 5% for 5 years. And then before we left, we needed $100,000 to get it going for that season. So I had to borrow another $100,000 off them. But anyway, we sorted it out. And then when they were running the ski hill with all diesel unit, diesel powers, and a fella moved here with, he was the manager of BC Hydro, he came out of Stewart, and I got him on the ski hill board, and between him and myself, and we put the hydro up the line there, up to the ski hill, so we started running it with hydro, and it didn't cost us anything. They built it, they cut the right-of-way, they built the hydro line, and we paid for it over the next 10 years with the usage, eh? But there's lots of things happened that I was involved in over the years.
So let's, when did you decide to run for mayor? Like instead of just being
19,
on the council?
79, I ran for mayor against, his name was Fred Shortreed. And I didn't win that time. But then I ran again in 81. There were 2-year terms in those days. And I won in 81, so I was mayor 82, 83, 84, 85. And then I was on council after that till late in the 90s. But anyway.
What kind of platform did you run on? Like, how did you get people's votes, I guess?
I really don't know. I was never a politician. I was always a volunteer. Like I treated people's money, like tax money, like it was my own. If we spent a dollar, we had to have a good reason for it. You know, we never wasted any money because first year I was on council, the budget was less than $1 million for Smithers, and it was 3,500 people there in those days. And we did a lot of paving, a lot of sidewalks, but. I can't remember what my platform was, to be honest about it. The people must have liked it because it was 11 of us run for 2 seats, and I topped the polls that year when I got elected. So,
wow.
It was exciting and interesting. And those were the days where the reporter could go right into the polling booth when they were counting, and they would give an update every 10 minutes. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Some other projects did you work on while you were mayor? You mentioned the ski hill.
I worked on, we did a major sewer line up under the highway, and we did Main Street, we did the water reservoir, did lots of sidewalks, ski hill. Let's see here. Water supply, and I was always in charge of equipment. When I wasn't mayor, I was in charge of the works department. So, and I worked with equipment all my life when I wasn't here, like up to that point in time, with cats and loaders and that. And so the foremen we had here, some of them, you know, they want to buy new equipment all the time, and I was always against that. You know, we bought it when we needed it, but lots of times you can fix something and make it. They were going to buy a new loader one time, I remember, because they said the old one was. So I said to the works foreman, what's it need? Well, we had to do the engine and the torque converter and new tires. And it was like $25,000 we spent on that. A new loader was $140,000, and the old one lasted for another 5-6 years. And then we got more for it when we sold it than we paid to fix it. And those were the type of things I was always involved in, and trucks and stuff like that. snow plowing, getting the roads plowed in the wintertime and everything like that.
You were also involved with the swimming pool, is that correct?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't involved in the swimming pool. I never had anything to do with that.
Okay.
A little tiny wee bit. Because the swimming pool belongs to the regional district, and I was on the regional district for 10 years, I guess. And I guess I was involved a little bit, not very much.
Okay.
Very little. I don't know much about swimming.
Okay, sure. No worries. I guess, what were some of the hardest parts when you were in politics in Smithers?
Well, if half the people weren't mad at you, they were doing something wrong. You know, it made a lot of friends. It made lots of enemies, too, you know. People they demand things of you that you can't do. And one mistake I made early on, people would ask me something, and I'd bring it up at council, and then they'd say, no, I never said that. You know, so after that, I learned, if you want me to take something to council, you write me a letter. I'll have it in writing. I got hung out to dry a few times, but it was generally not too bad. Not too bad.
So you don't have to answer this one if you don't want to. I'm just curious. So you mentioned one thing that people kind of mentioned they weren't happy with, you know, not having something in writing, I guess. Is there any other specific thing that you received criticism for while you were in politics in Smithers?
I really can't say that I ever did. You know, I don't remember it. You know, people would discuss things with you, and they sort of weren't happy with what you did. But in those days, we didn't have a lot of money, and we did the best we could with what we had, and people seemed to accept it. Nowadays, it's altogether different. I don't think I could stand being on council anymore the way it's going today, the things that are happening. And, you know, we spent money wisely back in my time in council, I have to say that. There was no waste.
Do you have any other comments about how council and local politics have changed since you were involved?
Well, it's changed a lot. I mean, they seem to be focused on a lot of things that, to me, don't make any, like the town of Smithers has gotten $8 million plus from the province in the last 13 months. And sitting in the bank somewhere, our streets are falling apart, our sidewalks are falling apart. There's about a half a dozen half blocks of streets in town. There's still gravel. And the way the streets were paved in the old days was the town paid 80% and the citizens paid, or I think that was the point, it was 80-20. So they've stuck to that. Today, you know, they don't want to, some of where these half blocks are, people vote against having it paved. They don't want to pay the whatever, I can't remember, it was 20 or 30% they had to pay in. But they've been paying taxes in those properties for 40 years, and it's time they paved those few blocks that are half blocks of streets that are still gravel. They'd save it in maintenance in 5 years, you know, because every year they got to dust control them and grade them and so on. But council just don't seem to want to do it. They have the money to do it now, but I don't know why it's sitting in the bank doing nothing, in my opinion. They should be using it for, that's, they were given it to, given the money to use for something, but I know what they're saving it for this new library complex they want to build, which we don't need. Because the library that we have was built in 1967, the centennial year, and it's a good building. It's only 50 years old. It doesn't need to be torn down, in my opinion. But they're bound, they're going to build this new $16 million recreation complex that includes a library. But that's what they're saving the money for, but they should be using it for other things, in my opinion.
Okay. So you mentioned, I don't remember if you said provincial or federal, but you tried to become the candidate for the Social Credit Party?
Yeah, provincially.
Provincially.
Yeah.
I guess what drew you to the Social Credit Party?
I'm sorry?
What drew you to the Social Credit Party?
What was I?
What drew you?
Oh, what drew me? Well, yeah.
We both worked for the Social Credit Party.
Oh, you both did? Okay.
You probably don't remember Bill Bennett, Jr. W.A.C. Bennett was his father. He was premier from 52 to 72. And then he got defeated by Dave Barrett, and Bill Bennett, his son, became leader of the party. I picked him up in Prince Rupert before he was ever leader, and we had meetings in Rupert, Terrace, Kitimat, Hazeland, Smithers, and Houston and Burns Lake. And so I knew him personally, and in my opinion, he was the best premier this province ever had. Because his dad was great in his time, but things were changing, you know, and he couldn't quite keep up with the modernization of things. But he built up, like old W.A.C. Bennett built all the big roads, you know, through the canyon and all that. That's what he did. But so we were always involved in the Social Credit Party, and Joan and I both, and you know, we went to lots of conventions and meetings, and Bill Bennett he'd phone me 6-7 times a year just to chat and ask me what's happening up here. And of course we knew Alec Fraser was a Minister of Highways. We knew him from Quesnel, and then Cyril Shelford was a good old guy from south of Francois Lake, somewhere out there, and we knew there was some good politicians in those days. Their word was their bond, boy. Yeah, not like today.
Were there a lot of social credit supporters in Smithers?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. We had members here pretty steady, and then the NDP took over.
When Bill Bennett, was he already mayor, premier then?
He was premier then,
he
yeah.
was coming to Smithers, and somebody phoned me and asked me if I would be a liaison for him here to get people out to hear him, and try. And his liaison in Victoria came up, and I worked with her. And we did lots of phone calls. I put people on committees to phone, and it was the biggest turnout he had ever had, and he was really grateful for it. And yeah, they were standing outside. It was at the Hudson Bay Lodge at the time, but Prestige. And yeah, everybody liked him.
Okay.
We were one of the original partners in the Prestige.
Oh, really?
Hotel before it was ever built. Yeah, there was three partners in those days, and then all of a sudden there was 10 partners, and I didn't want to be part of that, so I sold my shares and it got built anyway. But over the years, I was involved in a lot of different things. I was on the old hospital board here for 12 years. That's when we had a local group that ran this hospital.
What was that like? What sort of things did you do as part of the board?
I'm sorry?
Sorry. What was that like? What sort of things did you do with the board?
Well, we ran the hospital. We got so much funding from the province, and we ran the hospital with that money. We hired doctors and nurses, and the board didn't. I mean, we had an administrator. He did all that, but we gave him directions. And anyway, when the NDP were in power, the administrator, he ticked somebody off in Victoria, and anyway, they gave us an order to fire him, the board, and we wouldn't fire him because we had no reason to fire him. He was a good administrator. He'd done a damn good job. And so I got a call one night to go up to the hospital the next morning to a meeting at 7 o'clock, and I went up there and bought myself a cup of coffee for 50 cents, and this lady walks in all dressed to the nines with a guy in her arm, and she fired the whole board, fired the administrator. and they took over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When was this?
Oh, that was in the 70s sometimes, or maybe it was in the 70s, I guess, or it might have been the 80s. I can't remember the years, but yeah, I said, well, isn't that lovely? I said, first job I was ever fired from was a volunteer job.
Wow.
Because we never got paid anything for volunteering for the hospital board. And that was a good hospital in those days. And the nuns ran it first, and that was pretty funny anyway. But anyway, I was a director in the North Central Municipal Association for a few years, and I was a director in the BC Aviation Council, and then I was in the Northwest Hospital District for 6 years when I was mayor of Telqua. And, got around quite a bit.
So shifting gears a little bit here, where have you lived in Smithers? Like what neighborhoods, what areas?
Well, we first we lived out where the old store, out where Cal Tire is. We had a trailer there, and there was a bunch of cabins behind Cal Tire, which we owned and people lived in, and we finally got rid of them. And then we bought a house on King Street where the new to use is. That was our original house.
Oh, really?
Then we bought one up on 10th Avenue, and then we bought one on 1st Avenue. We lived there for 22 years. Then we built a brand new house out on Henry Road, if you know where Henry Road is.
Going west,
that garden center that's out there. Mm-hmm. We turn up, that's Henry Road, and we're up that road. And I had a heart attack in 2004, so we decided we should sell that house. We had 10 acres and a big lot, and I couldn't take care of it. She was taking care of it. It was a really nice house, but so we sold it, and there was nothing for sale in Smithers at that point in time, and so we bought a house in Telqua. That was in 2005. We lived there for...
We had a big golden retriever, and we couldn't go into an apartment because you can't put a golden retriever in. She was our baby.
Oh, wow.
So our daughter told us that there was a house for sale in Telqua in the backyard. So we looked at it, and we just loved it, so we moved out there.
Whereabouts in Telqua?
On Willow Street, and it's up on the new subdivision. You have a coal mine road.
Okay.
And we lived there for 12 years, 2005 to 2017. Yeah, 12 years we lived there. Then I ran for council there in 2009. I was mayor there for six years, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, yeah.
So why did you decide to get back into politics?
Well, they
guys needed, were talking to him.
They needed some leadership there. The place was kind of in shambles when I took over. I thought, heck, I can do something. So we did. We it was four counselors and myself, and we did a lot of things the 6 years I was there. They didn't have any equipment there. It was all old stuff and broken down. We bought new trucks and graders and stuff like that.
And then when did you finally leave politics?
Well, I was going to run for mayor for a third term, and one of the counselors, he thought he was smarter than I was, so I said, well, okay, you go for mayor and I'll run for counselor. And he was so sure he was going to be the mayor. And anyway, both of us got defeated.
Oh, wow.
So, Carmen was very sick then, too.
I was quite sick. And I came home that night from the election, and I was happy. I went to bed and had a good night's sleep. His wife told me he cried all night. But that ended my career.
So I guess you two have a bit of an interesting perspective. You lived in Smithers and Telqua.
Yeah.
So what was the difference?
Well, Telqua was
smaller.
Quite small. It's only 1,500 people.
I liked it out there.
And there's not too many paved streets out there, lots of gravel streets, and it just was quite different, you know. From here, there wasn't much money. It was always tied for money, and but they had a good water system there. They had a new water plant was built before I went there, and they had a good sewer system. It was put in before my time. But then we put in a kilometer of water line, had to go in under the highway, and in 2008 they were going to pave it, and I said, can you wait for a year, because next year we were going to put this water line in. And we put in they call it trenchless water system, where they pushed a 12-inch pipe into a 6-inch pipe that was under the highway. We never dug the highway up at all. A company from Vancouver came in, and they dug different holes, 100 meters at a time. They'd put 100 meters of pipe in at a time, and they'd get it all set up. They had a cable run through the old pipe and a winch in the other end, and a pneumatic punch in this end, and they'd lay 100 meters of pipe in a couple hours. But it was all underground. We never dug a thing up. But we didn't want them to pave the highway till we had that done. And we did that in 2008. So then they did the highway through Smithers the next year when it was done. Because if they had to dig the highway up, that would have cost us a ton of money. And it was good. Yeah.
So why did you decide to leave Telqua and move back to Smithers?
Well,
we were both
not
and
well.
I was quite handicapped.
She was quite handicapped, and I couldn't take care of my property the way I like to. You know, I put off mowing the lawn for a week, and then it was twice as hard to mow. And one day we were having a glass of wine on our deck, and it was in May of that year, and we both said, you know, it's time we did this. We both agreed, so we put the house up for sale, and it was quite a while selling, but finally sold it. And our daughter had an apartment where we're living now, and we rented that. And over the couple of months I moved, we had the apartment empty for a couple of months, and I kept moving stuff, boxes in town. Every time I come, I'd bring some boxes in, and we took truckloads of stuff to the new to used, and we downsized to quite a bit, but it was a good move for us. It was the right move.
So how long have you been back in Smithers now?
We've been here since 2017.
Okay. So just a couple of years.
When he was in Telqua, went to UBCM. That's Union of Municipalities, BC. And he won a great big certificate, for being in municipal politics for 31 years.
Oh,
so wow. I was quite proud of him.
You also won another award. Let me see here. Something to do with like the Queen's Jubilee.
Queen's
Medal. Yeah.
Her silver anniversary, was it?
It was in Telqua. He got it.
Yeah, I got the Queen's. What anniversary was that of hers?
Was it diamond? It
must have been diamond.
I think it might have been diamond. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I got that.
So what was that like, receiving an award like that?
Well, I was pretty good. It felt pretty good. Yeah. To get recognized. We did a lot of hard work over the years, and you didn't get a lot of recognition, a lot of thanks for it, but I think people did. I think people appreciated it over the years.
Great. Just one second here. All right, so I guess I just have one last question about politics before I move on to some other things. I guess, how did spending that many years in politics change you? Like, how do you think you changed because of it?
Well, I was more determined to treat people right and treat the tax money right. People, taxpayers, the money that they paid the town for taxes, I always was very conscious of how we spent that money. You know, it gave me a different perspective on things. And of course, being involved in a lot of, you know, gave me a lot of opportunities. I met a lot of good people in my travels over the time I was on council. Lots of politicians, good ones and some bad ones, and made a lot of good friends, and it was good, you know. We got to move around quite a bit and see what other communities are doing. And like when we were in Talca, we got a grant from the province to do fire litigation around the village. And we spent about $2 million. And we were supposed to pay 20% of that, but we did enough. We got enough logging off of the stuff that we did fire remediation on to pay our 20%, so it didn't cost us anything. What they do is they went pretty well around the whole village, and they clean all under the trees, and they cut all the branches up about 8 feet. So when the fire went through there, there was nothing really on the ground to burn. And so we did that. I went to a meeting one time, and they were discussing this fire remediation, and nobody seemed to know too much about it. So I spoke up and said that I had quite a bit of experience with what we did, and then they all listened. And so it was good. Some of it was. I met really a lot of good people in my day, being in politics. And well, I never was a politician. I was a volunteer. That's all. I couldn't do politics the way they do it today. Okay, you know, they tell you one thing, and the minute they get elected, they forgot that.
I have a similar question for you, Joan. What was it like having somebody in the House involved in politics for so long?
He did his thing, and I did my thing. I did a lot of quilting when I quit working, I've got 4 kids and 12 grandchildren, and
oh wow,
and going on the 7th great grandchild.
Oh wow! Well, congratulations!
And, I've made them all quilts.
Great.
I shouldn't say that. The 2-year-old, I haven't made him a quilt yet.
Are you a part of any like quilting organizations, or is this just something you do on your own?
Well, we had quilting in Talca. We went every Wednesday afternoon, and it was just a friendship thing, and we all quilted there, and then we have quilting bees, and we go there and for a weekend and eat and make our quilts, and yeah, it was fun.
Great. So that kind of goes to my next question. Great. What have you done for fun while you've lived in the valley? What sort of hobbies have you guys had?
Well, we square danced. We like to square dance a lot, and hunting and fishing.
Yeah, we square danced in Nova Scotia before we were married, and then we square danced in Quesnel when we were there, and we came to Smithers. We square danced in Smithers, and then we went in Talca. We had a big seniors group there, and we were quite involved in it. And they had dancing there once a month, was it?
Yeah.
And Bob Blackburn was the caller, but then he got sick, so he wasn't able to do it. So it was.
Back when we were both not so crippled up, we did a lot of snowmobiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went up the Onion and the Dome lots of times, and I did a lot of hunting and fishing. She didn't do any of that, but we traveled a lot. We were in Japan, we were in Aruba, we were in Jamaica, Scotland, Switzerland, Germany.
Oh wow, all over.
Italy, France, England.
We won a few trips through Bridgestone Tire and one from Firestone Tire. Yeah. They paid our way right from our door right to...
Yeah.
And
we've seen quite a bit of the world, and, you know, I'm
and
glad.
Then Carmen's dad had gone to Switzerland with his youngest sister, and she wanted to know if we were going to, if we could go over there and be with them to come home. And so we went to Switzerland, and that's where his father and mother came from, and we loved it. And then my mother came from Scotland, so I wanted to go over to Scotland, so we went over there. We were gone for a month, but Carmen and I have a tendency to get homesick.
Oh.
And anyway, we always said we were going to go back. We were going to spend 3 months in Switzerland and 3 months in Scotland, but we never did. We can't now.
One thing that I thoroughly enjoyed, I had my own airplane. I did a lot of flying. Yeah, that was. I always loved airplanes. I wanted to join the Air Force when I was 17. And I didn't have enough education. I wanted to be a pilot, and they said you could have a 1 year university. And, so I didn't go, but I finally achieved my dream. I bought my own airplane in 1960. Or 72 or something like that, and I had it for 10 years. And I finally sold it. It was getting too expensive to run anymore, but it was a thrill. It was one thing that stands out in my mind.
I'm curious: are there a lot of people in Smithers with private planes? Is that is there a community?
Back in those days, there was probably 15 or 20 private planes on the airport at that time. I think there's only a couple now. But,
really? Okay.
But Carmen's wife didn't fly with him very much.
And there was a flying club here. That's where I started. They had a Cessna 150 and a Cessna 172. And I learned to fly on a Piper 140. And then I joined the flying club, and then I finally bought my own airplane. I had a Piper 235B. It was a fast plane. It cruised at 160 knots. I could make Prince George in 40 minutes.
Wow.
And I had to go to Vernon once a month to meetings with Cal Tire. I was a Cal Tire dealer here for 20 years, and I could leave at 6 in the morning if the weather was good and be there and meet and get home the same day.
That's amazing.
And to drive, it took a day to drive and a day back. And usually be gone 3 days at the minimum. Yeah.
My mom loved to fly with them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, we had a federal sales tax audit. Or a Revenue Canada auditor came in. He wrote us a letter in May, and he was coming in September, and he had everything he wanted, books or wanted our personal stuff, and one thing he wanted was a logbook for the airplane. He had that underlined with red paint. So the young father, he said to Joan, "I guess you take a lot of trips in that airplane." She said, "I hate that damn airplane. I've never been in it." And furthermore, she said, "He's the mayor of the town. He's meetings in Calatine." And that particular day, I was in Vernon. I'd flown down that morning, and I had to get back that night for a council meeting, and he never even opened the logbook.
He audited all our companies, and he wanted our personal stuff, and then he was finished on Friday night, and it was pouring rain. And he said, I think I'm finished. He said, "Can you get me a taxi?" And I said, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm staying at the Hudson Bay Lodge." And he said, "Well," I said, "I can drive you down there. The taxis here aren't very nice." "No, no," he says, "I'll get a taxi." So I said, "Okay." He said, "Well, I'm finished here, you know." So he wrote the nicest letter to me. He said that was the easiest books he ever had to audit, and I just felt so pleased about it. No,
that's great.
And I always chased him out. "Don't you go, don't come back in here." And he said, "You know, how come you got a tire that cost, well, how much were they?"
$4,000.
What?
$4,000.
$4,000. And I said, "Well, they're paternal tires, you know, like
maternal."
Paternal. I said, Do you want to have look at one? Because we always keep one in stock, because if PIR broke down in the middle of the night, yeah, our son could change it, eh? And so, yeah, he said, I'd like to see it. So I took him down and wow. He said,
as big as this room.
Yeah. And so then he said, manufacturing chain, how do you do that? And, you know, or manufacturing hose. How do you do that? And I said, well, do you want to? I said, I can't explain it to you, but yeah, I said, so I took him down, and the manager we had in there, he said, I said, could you show him how we manufacture hose? And he did. And well, he said, I learned something today. He said he was really pleased about that, eh? He asked a lot of questions about other people. Other companies that we deal with.
We had a lot of fun with minor hockey, though, over the years. We had a lot of fun with that, going to different places with our teams. And she usually was going one direction, and I was going another. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I was... our son, who has just sold the Harley-Davidson, he didn't play hockey for a while because he'd been in a bad accident when he was 7. He was hit by a car. And he was unconscious for over a week, but he came out of it, and he's been a good businessman. And he's raised a lot of money in this town for multiple sclerosis, is it?
Yeah.
And they've give a lot to this town, him and his wife. And anyway, he came home one day, and he says, I just feel like they had to wear helmets, and he didn't want to wear a helmet. And he said, I just have it in me, I want to play hockey. And I said, you have to wear a helmet. But then it was mandatory that they wear helmets. And he said, I'll wear a helmet. Okay. So he comes in, I'm downstairs washing, and he says, Mom, don't faint. I got hit with a puck. And so his puck hit him right here, and his eye was swollen. But I'm going back, he said. I'm going back. Oh, he was on a fun team. That they weren't. But we went to Houston one night, and Houston and Smithers always fought playing hockey. Didn't matter what, mm-hmm, how old they were. And so they said there was these guys were going to knife them after the game. And so I just kind of laughed. And I knew their coach. And so I said to Ray, I think they're just, somebody's just trying to scare them. So I said to them, okay, there's five boys come in my car. And when I go to the car, there would be five boys there because I'm leaving. And who's ever not there can walk home, just Smithers. And Ray Collingwood was a coach, and he had promised them to stop and buy some goodies for him. So, yeah, that's all they could talk about all the way home, you know.
Very cool. So you actually, looking in the interior news, you've done a lot of golfing, is that right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about golfing in Smithers? Oh. Is that something you both did?
No, I never golfed.
I loved golfing.
Is there a lot of people, a big community of that in Smithers?
There was a big, then there still is. And I curled.
They were,
and we have a granddaughter who's the top woman curler in Canada.
Really?
And she was curling on the...
Her team won the Scotties 2 years ago.
What's her name?
Rochelle Brown.
Okay, wow.
She was Rochelle Paderny, but she's married to Cody Brown. But she had been in high school curling, and they went and traveled around, Quesnel and places. And she came home, and I said, did you win any? No, we didn't win any. But, oh, Grandma, I had so much fun. Met so many people, and, oh, it was such fun. And I said, well, that's the name of the game. You know, you don't have to win. Just win. She looked me in the eye and she said, Grandma, I'm going to go into the Tournament of Hearts someday and I'm going to win it. And so when she won that year, that's all I could think of, her looking me in the eye, well, telling me she was going to win.
They won silver twice in the Scotties, and then they won the 217, I think it was.
She threw her stick right up. They were in Cape Breton. She threw her stick right up and hit the light.
That's amazing. I didn't know about that.
Halfway through, they were down 5. And they were going to quit. And Rochelle said, no.
She'd
keep
lead.
Playing. She said, I got it figured out. The skip and the other team, she's not making her draws. And they were down to the last rock. And they were sitting a rock in the house, and the other skip had to throw the last rock. And it was an easy shot to take that out. And she pulled up short. Yeah.
And her other grandma curled on the same team as me. I just curled in the afternoon. And golfing, I just was... Usually I just went women's night, and then I would go in the tournaments, but...
Back those were the sand greens.
Yeah, when I started, it was just sand greens.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. When did they get the real greens in?
When the course started getting bigger, and they have 18 holes. Now, they have a beautiful golf course.
It was only 9 holes when you started, and then they went to 18. It's a good golf club here.
Yeah.
It's very, I don't know how they made out this year, but... Everything was down this year, of course.
And Rochelle's curling team, they're not curling at all. Actually, last month they went into someplace in Alberta. The teams came from back east, and they were just on their second end. And it came on, everybody was get out, get dressed, and go home immediately.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was called off because of Corvette. So.
Wow.
She said she doesn't know when. She'd like to go. She has a little boy now, so. Mm-hmm. And they tell me he's quite athletic. He's 2 years old. No wonder. He sees so many games.
Maybe another national athlete. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, his dad plays golf and hockey, so he watches it. He watches all the games.
All right, so I essentially just have 2 questions left, almost finished here.
Okay.
First, I just want to know if you have any other thoughts about how Smithers or Telqua have changed since you've moved here, how the Bulkley Valley has changed over time.
Oh, yes, it's changed.
We've talked about this a little bit, but if there's anything else you want, either of you wanted to.
It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot, yeah.
Very good. Smithers is a nice place to live. And we like Telqua, too.
Talk has changed a lot too, and it's changing a lot right now. A lot of new people came here. Like 20 years ago, I knew everybody in Smithers. I could meet anywhere and meet them. Now I don't know anybody anymore. They're all new. Everybody's new. That's one thing that's changed. And of course, we got a lot of government employees here now that we didn't have when I first came here. The forestry was here, that was all. Then we built the big government building and the access center and then the forestry building. And you know, those were all built since my time here. So it's all changed, you know. And then, of course, we got new subdivisions.
We belong to the seniors in Smithers and the seniors in Telqua. And I help with the cooking. Telqua has a potluck once a month, and I was on a team, and I had to get everybody working, and it was 3 months at a time, you know, that wasn't for a whole year. And then Smithers, it was, I had to work with somebody else. We did, whenever they did a meal or something, breakfast every Smithers had breakfast mm-hmm. every Saturday, didn't they? Or?
No, once a month.
Once a month, yeah.
Pancake breakfast every Saturday. They had lunch every Wednesday here in the Smithers Seniors. We miss that, you know.
Yeah, we really miss that.
It was always well attended.
The fellowship. Mm-hmm. And
like, you know, we when we since we've been here, there's the Silver King subdivision, the one down by Canadian Tire, then the Ambleside. Those are all brand new since our time. The Silver King subdivision, that land was all vacant when we came here. Well, the Bulkley Drive wasn't even in those days. And that was a vacant field owned by a farmer. And I bought that field where Silver King subdivision is for $80,000 for the town. And should have bought it myself.
You're worth a lot more now. Yeah.
Well, we live on Main Street.
One lot sold for $107,000.
When we came here, that was Highway 16.
Yeah.
This road.
We used to go up Main Street and down the hill and cross the old bridge. There was a bridge down there. And okay. It went out in the late 60s, I think it was. It went out. The ice took it out.
There was friends of ours that came up from Quesnel that they would come at Easter time, and they came. I was on the telephone, and somebody phoned. Said the bridge washed out. Bob and Shirley had just walked in, and I said, did you folks come over the bridge? And they said, yeah, we come over the bridge. So you're lucky because it just washed out.
For a couple, 3 months, and we had to drive all the way to Morristown and go across the bridge there, the river, and then back Morristown High Road. That's how we had to go east from here.
Really?
For a couple of months.
Wow.
And they put a Bailey Bridge in down there, and then like from Main Street going east, there was hardly anything down there. It was all bush when we came here. Hoskins Garage was on the corner of Main Street and Highway 16 on the east side of Main Street. And they had a little sales office on right where that building is on the corner of 16 and Main Street. From there on out towards the bridge now, there was nothing. It was all bush. And it was just a road, a dirt road where the farmers used to come in there. And then they changed the highway and built that new bridge and just changed the highway. And then the frontage roads and all that, that's all brand new since we've been here. Everything out there is new, right from the bridge down to Main Street.
When we first came here, there wasn't a whole, there's lots of restaurants now here. But there wasn't a whole lot in Smithers. So Carmen brought everybody home for supper. And, you know, some of them were top guys in the tire business, eh? But they were all nice. And one night he brought them home. And all I got is some baked beans and some brown bread, eh? And this guy said, it came from Quebec. It was brought up in Quebec. That's all we had was baked beans and brown bread. And he ate. I hope he knows what beans do. But and they were.
When we had the shop where it is now, from there all the way up to Tim Hortons, there wasn't a thing there. It was all bush. There was three native houses right in front of the Aspen. They're gone now, of course, but that's all there was from there right up to Tim Hortons. It was all bush. So that's all brand new since we've been here, too, that whole strip of the other side of the highway on where the Esso station is. That was pretty well developed. There was a motel there right by the just this side of the tire store there on Highway 16 off of Main Street. There was a motel there. And then there was the Tyee. They had a motel there where the Stork's Nest is now. They had a restaurant and a motel. Half of it burnt in the hilltop. That was the only accommodations here at that time. So the Sandman, and they've all built since then, since we've been here. And Buchanan's owned the theater, and his dad, Les Buchanan, he built a little drive-in restaurant where the Twin Valley is. It was called the Rainbow Drive-In. They served hamburgers and that. And it's still in that Twin Valley somewhere. They never tore it down. They just built around it.
Wow.
And radio station used to be right on the corner of Highway 16 and where OK Tire, that's where the radio station was in those days. Then they bought the building down Queen Street there. But, yeah.
Lots has changed over the years.
Yeah. There was a Texaco station on the other corner. It's gone. There was a Shell station on the corner of Highway 16 and Main Street where the park is there. Now that was a Shell station. And then there was another Shell station on the other corner. They're gone. And
we never knew what, I never knew what the name of the streets were. It was like, they're up by Kennedy's or over by Logan's or over by Miss Feltz or...
Other people have told me the same thing, not knowing the street names until later,
And when we came here, General Motors was where Shoppers Drugstore is. That block, that was where the GM dealer was in those days. And then they moved out on the highway. And Dr. Weir's office, he was the only doctor here. He's where the restaurant is there now. That was his original building. What's the name of the restaurant? They make peaches.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's right there. But yeah, there's been lots of changes.
All right, well, I think the last question I have, since this is your interview, is there any topics that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about?
Not really, no. I think we've covered everything.
I'll tell you a funny thing about curling. I curled in a Bonspiel for, it was all weekend. And we curled and curled and curled and we got nothing. We got these toothbrushes. So the firemen were having their Bonspiel here for BC. It was going to be here at... So they Carmen was mayor then. They asked Carmen to go down and throw the first rock, eh? So he goes down and throws it and it lands right in the league. He gets a trophy for it. He brings it home and he sets it up on the fireplace and he said, look what I want at curling. And I said, take that down. I took it down. So next morning I get up there, it's sitting up there. I'm going to hang my toothbrush.
I like that story. That's good.
All the buildings there were Kell Tires. I built all those buildings. There's 4 buildings there. I built them all. And the old store, my father-in-law and I, we built that too. It burnt and we built a new one there. It's gone now, but we built all those buildings. And it's been an exciting time. I wouldn't have changed a minute of it. It was good. And I had a good wife that sat home a lot of nights sitting alone when I was out and sitting a lot.
I wasn't really alone. I mean, there was lots of kids around.
A lot of hotel rooms when I was at different meetings. But
it got lots of kids that lived with us. And that one boy I had, his mother was working and I babysitted. His dad was a railroader. And when he got to be even, you know, in the summertime, he'd come in our place, and then got old enough, he worked at the shop for Carmen. And his mother said every time he came to town, he'd want to go and see us, me first, eh? And his dad died, and we went to the funeral, and I said, Scott, you never said goodbye, and he came back, and he's crying, he said, goodbye, Mom. It's the first time he ever called me Mom.
Oh, wow.
But I was like a mom to him. He was so shy when he came, and he was the same age as our daughter, Cindy, so Cindy kind of looked after him. And then we got word that he had died in his sleep. He had sleep apnea. And I felt really bad about that. And then another, we had a boy that lived with us for a year because he played hockey here. What were they called?
I can't remember.
They get the hockey teams in here. And
the
then
Braves,
they,
I think it was the Braves, I believe it was.
And he stayed with us for a year. And I just used him like my own. None of my kids were ever jealous of the kids that stayed with us. And Stephen seen him, and he said, your mom and dad is still around? And Stephen said, yes. He said, he said, could I go see them? And Steve said, they'd love to see you. So they came and seen us, and then his wife was having a show of paintings in the museum. So I said, well, I want to go down. I see Curtis' wife is out. So we went down there, and he knew us right away. And he came over and he said, I got to give you a hug before you leave. I got to go because I can't walk very good. So I said, and he said, I got to give you a hug. He said, the best year I ever had my teenage years was at your place.
That must have been great to hear.
And that was good. That was good, yeah. And about a month later, him and his wife were cross-country skiers. Stephen phoned and told me he had died of a heart attack skiing. And then there was another one that was a friend of Pam's. She died with cancer. And
we, over the years, like we belonged to the Pentecostal church, and for the years we had a lot of evangelists stayed with us from Africa and all over the all over the country. Some nice people. We met some really nice people.
Yeah, sometimes they'd end up
being one funny story was
stay for a month or a week.
There was three couples came here. They were staying at different places, and the couple who was staying with us, their friends were staying at another place that didn't have a television. And the people that were staying where they didn't have a television wanted to watch a hockey game. So the couple that was staying with us, we were going out that night. So he said, well, come over to where we're staying and watch a hockey game. They won't mind. This is unbeknown to me. And
I knew it.
I worked late that night. And I walked in, and I had a bathroom right where I back entrance to the door. So I go in there and I'm having a shower. And my clothes are upstairs. So I come out of there naked, going to walk upstairs, and there's a strange couple sitting there watching television. Oh my God. So anyway, I got a towel around me.
We said, well, we're going out to the country.
They were told us, we were going out somewhere. So we just left them in the house and said, lock the door when you leave.
Make sure our dog doesn't go out and lock the door when you leave.
We had some wonderful people stay with us, really wonderful people. One couple, she was a Negro. She was black as that. She was just ebony black, and he was a white man. She was the nicest person you could ever meet. Just wonderful people. Yeah, we probably had 20 or 30 different couples stay with us over the years and enjoyed every minute of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been really good.
Yeah.
We were blessed.
We sure were blessed, yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else we want to talk about?
No.
Or should I end the recording here?
No, I think that's good.
Are we both good? Okay. I will end it here.